Well, good morning again, everybody. We're going to wrap up this week in fine style. We have a house full of folks and then some, and it's great to be with you here as we head on down the line. And, well, in the house right now is our good friend Michael Peterson. Good morning, Michael.
Good to see you again, man.
Yeah. And Joe Jobe, the executive director of the National Biodiesel Board. Good to see you, man.
Good morning, Dave. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, the National Biodiesel Board got a big presence this year.
Yeah, actually, we're down here. I'm down here to just show our support and gratitude for New Holland and for Michael. Mm-hmm. Michael and New Holland put on the tractor race every year, and we can't say enough for what Michael has done and what New Holland has done to promote biodiesel to the fans at Fanfare, but nationwide to promote the use of biodiesel. And New Holland is actually the most supportive OEM of biodiesel in the world. And so we're just here to show our gratitude for New Holland and to Michael for all that they do.
Yeah. And guys, you got your headphones there, Michael? Let's go to the phones because I know a lot of folks want to talk to you here this morning. 615-292-6366, and Z's with us on the phones. And Shalico is down in Louisiana. Good morning, Shalico. Yes, about the idea, Joe, that a lot of the states are now saying, well, they're going to cut back on budgets, so they're not going to mow medians and right-of-ways much anymore. And Shalico had a pretty interesting idea.
You know, that it's interesting you say that because we just had an event up in Utah. The state of Utah is doing just exactly that. They are planning camelina in the right-of-ways, and what they're doing is they're working with the state DOT, and it takes actually less fuel. Because when you just plant grass, you have to mow it, you know, at least once a month, you have to mow it. And so you're going over so many passes. Well, when you plant camelina, you go one pass to plant, and it only gets, you know, less than knee-high. So it's one pass to plant, one pass to harvest, and for the entire growing season. And then they harvest that camelina, they process the seed, and they turn it into biodiesel, and they run their tractors on it.
They can have my whole lawn for that. I tell you. one pass.
And so it's a pilot project, but they expect that just based on and you know, if you can do it in Utah, you can do it anywhere. They don't have a whole lot of water up there, so imagine what you can do in the Midwest, where it just, you know, in Iowa and Illinois, where the dirt, you know, the top, black topsoil is.
Okay, so I got a question for you, though. Yeah. If it can be a cash crop, like let's say I've got 8 acres, and I got about 3 acres on my property. If I planted that on my property and grew that, could that turn into a cash crop for me as a homeowner? Would there be somebody to be interested in purchasing that?
Well, it's difficult because oil seeds have to be processed, and that is the bottleneck, because processing oil seeds, crushing and extracting the oil out of that, is a very high-volume, low-margin prospect. And so to make any money at it, you've got to be doing large volumes.
Got it. See, I really have to have a lot of medians, a lot of... Okay, great.
Yep.
Hey, how have the floods that happened last year, this last summer in North Dakota, and then the summer before in the Midwest, how has that affected the biodiesel community?
Well, it certainly affected the crop last year. There was a lot of acreage that ended up having to be replanted. You know, the Des Moines River and many of the rivers up north had huge flooding last year, and so there was a lot of crops replanted, but it actually ended up being, and if you remember, the flooding as well as some droughts in Australia, as well as primarily energy costs. A year ago, we had the adjusted for inflation all-time high. It topped out the all-time high energy price a year ago, last March. Then proceeded to go another 40% beyond that when we hit $150 a barrel for crude oil, which is ultimately, and that lasted for 3 months, and that was one of the things, along with the credit crisis and everything else, that just caused, that just strangled the economy and sent us into a tailspin. And so when that happened, when the economy melted down, commodity prices crashed. Right. So
the combination of that plus the flooding was devastating.
Yeah, and so it's just it's extraordinarily volatile and involves a whole range of variables. But that's been the biggest part of it is energy and the volatility of energy. Because if you noticed, 2 years ago from 2 years ago to last year, the price of crude oil doubled, and then it cut in half. And now it's marching back up again.
So it's hard to know really how to plan, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
Is there any of that bailout money that's been targeted for alternative fuel and energy?
Well, there was some research dollars that went in for that, but actually, surprisingly, no. Huh.
Mm. You know, one of the other things when you say biodiesel, diesel is the half of that, and over in Europe they're having incredible success with the smaller cars running on diesel. They're getting 35, 50, 60, 70 miles to
really?
The gallon. Oh God, yeah. I mean, Ford makes a car over there that gets, what, 40, 50 miles to the gallon. I think it's a little Fiesta. That's a small car, but right. Again, you know, right. But we have such a bad taste in our mouth, no pun intended, from the 80s when General Motors pretty much drove a stake in the heart of diesel technology here for automobiles. Any chance, you know, but it seems to me like diesel is much more promising than gasoline in terms of fuel economy.
Yeah, well, diesel is up to 40% more fuel efficient, as all your listeners and drivers out there know. I mean, diesel technology and diesel is the lifeblood of our economy because that's what moves the freight. Mm-hmm. But the reason it's what moves the freight is because it's so much more fuel efficient, has so much more horsepower. You just can't run a semi-truck in a feasible way on gasoline because it's just not the same BTU and horsepower. Durability, can't run a million miles without turning a wrench like you can on diesel technology. And that same technology is available to light-duty automobiles, but we're a country that just had not really valued fuel economy in our personal vehicles for many years. In Europe, they tax energy, and so fuel economy was more important to them. So that's why about half of the vehicles on the road are diesel, because it has just so much more fuel economy.
Mm-hmm. And they're clean.
And
now,
clean.
I mean, now they are. Of course, you know, in the past, and we still have that memory of belching black smoke out of stacks and things like that. But that's gone now, with especially with the new 2010 platform coming out.
And you know, an interesting thing is that we refine here in this country. We refine our crude oil for the gasoline, and in Europe they refine it for the diesel fuel. We send them our leftover diesel, finished diesel fuel. They send us their leftover gasoline, and that's one of the reasons why diesel fuel has, because there is a constriction in petroleum refinery in this country. The petroleum industry hasn't built a new refinery in over 30 years, because diesel fuel makes up a significantly less proportion of the supply. Diesel fuel has a higher sensitivity when crude oil goes up. That's a lot of times why diesel prices shoot up, because it has a disproportionately less amount of the supply to absorb those price shocks.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've already said, diesel fuel and diesel is the lifeblood of our economy, and it impacts every single American. And that's you know, that's one thing that most people don't understand.
Yeah,
I'm glad for your show, because I think this is great information. I don't think the average person thinks about that or understands that.
Joe, you mentioned camelina out in Utah. We hear, you know, obviously soybeans are the baseline standard, the gold standard for biodiesel. But there are some other plants and sources that we hear about now. Jatropha, which is a plant that can be used pretty much for nothing else but biodiesel production. It's not a food crop, so there's no competition there. Are there some other plants that are on the, coming on the horizon? And what about genetic engineering in terms of increasing the productivity of the fuel and the plants themselves?
Yeah, if you look at the available raw material here in the United States, soybeans are our primary oilseed crop, just in terms of what we grow here, but they're primarily grown for their protein. Soybeans are 80% protein, so they're grown for the global growing demand for protein worldwide for food and feed, and the oil is sort of the byproduct of that. And so we grow a lot of soybeans here, so that's what we have the most of. So if you look at the available raw material, it's about half soybean oil and about half everything else, and everything else is all of the various animal fats and other oil seeds like canola and cameline and sun and safflower, and used cooking oil and pork lard and poultry fat and all of those things. There are a number of things on the horizon. There's plant science research that's going on to look at arid variety crops that you might be able to grow in the desert or in low productivity areas, low water areas.
Poor soil areas.
Industrial peanuts, which are about 45% oil, that can be double cropped in the southeast.
Really?
They're looking at replacing various cotton acres in the mid-south with various oil seed acres.
Is cotton a potential oil seed?
Yeah, cotton.
Well, no, it is, but I mean for biodiesel use?
Yeah, cotton seed oil is used. The thing about cottonseed oil is it's very, very stable. So it's used as an industrial oil because it's so stable. But it's used for biodiesel as well, is right now being used for biodiesel. There is some other promising research going on in terms of looking at biotechnology. Just looking at soybeans, there's a lot of investment in plant science research. This planting season, they're putting in a variety that they're expecting to get a 10% yield bump and another 10% in another 5 years. And so just with that alone, that could equate to another 2 billion gallons more across the whole soybean crop. But yeah, we're National Biodiesel Board is looking at algae. We're investing in with the Danforth Plant Science Center in St. Louis. There's a lot of investment in algae going on. Algae is exciting because it just could create such
24-hour
volumes.
Cycle.
Yeah, such volumes. But we're a little concerned about overselling it because it's still a ways down
That's
the road.
That's the thing. You know, you talk about promise in the future, and people want it right now, and then if they don't get it right now, then they're, you know, it's really difficult. Hey, you know what? We just got maybe a couple of minutes before we go to a break. You guys want to, I love that harmonica. Why don't y'all do a little, just a little blues thing for us here as we go into the break. When we come out of the break, though, we'll go right back to some more phone calls. Joe Job is with us from the National Biodiesel Board. Michael Peterson is here. Just a little bit.